Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And our subject this evening is asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, a little while ago in one of our evangelistic services, I made the point concerning unbelievers, that unbelievers ought never to make the mistake of thinking that God will save them without any endeavor on their part. Now, we're not talking, of course, about a works-based salvation. We are saved by faith, by grace, freely forgiven by God. But we must be actively seeking the Lord. If we are to ever find God, we must be actively seeking the Lord. We're not going to just wake up one day and suddenly be Christians, be born again. There is a process. We seek the Lord, and only when we seek the Lord do we find him. And well, I mentioned the two principal ways of seeking the Lord, through the Word of God, and well, we considered that this morning. How the Word of God is as a fire and a hammer that breaks down our pride and regenerates us and so on. Through the Word of God, we must read it if we are ever to know the Lord and to seek him in the right way. But the second way was prayer, praying to God. If we're ever to truly know God and seek him, we are to pray unto him, cry to God. Personally ask him for the forgiveness of all our sin. If we don't ever pray to God, we can never truly be saved. In fact, well, as I often say, this is the first sign, or one of the first signs, that you are saved, that you actually begin to pray to God. That's the first sign. You never prayed before. You never wanted to pray before. You didn't know how to pray. Now the Lord is working in your life. You're actually praying to God. So this is the principal way of seeking the Lord and seeking the salvation of the Lord through prayer. But this principle is not just for unbelievers, of course. Those of us who are saved, well, we have to continue in prayer. We have to be very active in prayer. We, as believers, we cannot expect to know God's continuing guidance and God's continuing blessing and God helping us and assisting us. We can't expect that if we ourselves do not pray. If we ourselves are not actively seeking the Lord's face and crying unto him, we can't expect his continued blessing and his help and his guidance. If we neglect our devotions, if we neglect our times of prayer, and well, we go long days, long weeks without even thinking of praying and just sitting there and doing nothing, God is not going to just bless and mature you and help you to grow just like that. We have to actively seek the Lord's face consistently and, well, particularly in prayer. And these words here in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, this is promoting an active life of prayer. An active prayer life. This is what we're being encouraged to do here. And well, it's in keeping with the context of the Sermon on the Mount. We have been asked in this sermon to consider some very high and lofty things, high and lofty standards that Christian people have to keep. We have to avoid hypocrisy. We have to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth. We have to have a single eye for the glory of God. That's our main focus. God's glory, serving Him. We're not to be overly worried about earthly provisions. Take no thought for your life. All of these things, how do we do them? This is such a high standard. How are we supposed to achieve all these things? Well, it's through prayer. This is why the Lord mentions prayer here in this seventh verse of chapter 7. This is such a high standard. He's laid down the standard, and now He's giving us the help. How do we do it? Well, we pray. We pray, we ask, and it shall be given. We seek, and you shall find. You knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is not an impossible standard. This is something we can aspire to, but we must be constant in prayer. We must be consistent. And so we have these great exhortations. And well, let's just look to start off with at these exhortations one by one. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, let's look at the first. Ask and it shall be given. We must actively ask for all the things we need. Well, this is obvious. Now, we know, because the Lord has told us in this very sermon, that God knows everything that we have need of, even before we ask Him. That's what the Lord Himself says. Our Father knoweth what thing ye have need of before ye ask Him. And well, just to remind you, because people always ask this, if God knows what we need before we ask Him, why do we have to pray? Well, prayer, of course, well, there are so many valuable things that we obtain as believers when we pray. We acknowledge our need of God. That's something that every believer has to do. When we pray to God, essentially what we're saying is, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. Just when we come to the Lord in prayer, just that very act is, our desire for the Lord. Us saying that we need Him and need Him in a tremendous way. It's a confession of our great need for Christ. It's also an acknowledgement that God is the only giver. God is the only provider of all that we need. When we read in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're acknowledging that God is the only one who can give it to us. We're not asking anybody else, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, Thou art the God who is over everything, who is sovereign. Everything is according to Your will. So I ask You, O Lord, You are the one who is in charge. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't give myself bread. Nobody else gives it to me. You are the one who gives everything to all people. So this is why we pray. We acknowledge all these things. It's an act of worship. And of course, prayer keeps us humble. Prayer is a footstool. You know, to ask something of somebody, that's an act of humility. It's an act of being humble. You have to ask something of God. Proud people never want to ask anything. They never want to, I'm not going to ask this person for something. I'm not going to beg this person. That's a very proud thing. But asking somebody, asking the Lord to help us in prayer, that's a humble thing. It keeps us humble. And so for all these reasons, we must pray. Even though God knows what we need, we still pray because, we confess our need. We acknowledge that God is the only one who can supply our need. And, it's our humility before God. It's His people being humble before Him. And, these words, ask and it shall be given. This is obvious. If we ask, these things will be given to us. This is the way that we receive things from God by asking. We don't receive things from God by not asking. We ask the Lord. All the things that we lack in our lives, we bring them to the Lord and we ask. Not just practical things, of course, but spiritual things, spiritual gifts. In the letter of James, well, James writes, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So it's not just practical things, not just practical things like bread and clothes and money, wisdom, understanding, all of these things will be given to you. And again, in the letter of James, well, this is very pertinent for us. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. Is there something lacking in your life, in your Christian life particularly, and you struggle very much with it, and you've been going long weeks and months and years? Well, have you ever truly asked the Lord for that thing that you need? Ye have not because ye ask not. Well, for unbelievers particularly, we think again of salvation. If you want to be saved, well, you have not because you ask not. Maybe you're not properly asking the Lord, save me and bless me and forgive me all my sin. So ask and it shall be given you. That is very clear. But then seek and ye shall find. And it has been said and noted by many commentators, and this is true and right, that these exhortations, they increase in intensity. So the first exhortation, ask and it shall be given you. Well, it's just a simple ask. But now it's seek and ye shall find, which is more than just asking. We're adding to our asking now. Seek and ye shall find. This is asking plus acting. Asking and then acting upon your request. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, for example, a very simple illustration we can give. If you pray to have a greater Bible knowledge, to have a greater understanding of the Word of God, well, you pray for it, of course. Lord, give me greater understanding. But you act upon it as well. You read your Bible with greater diligence, with greater interest, with greater prayerfulness. You ask the Lord, but you act upon it. You seek, and you shall find. If, for example, you pray to overcome sins, certain besetting sins, well, of course, you pray to God, Lord, remove these sins from me, but you also act upon it. You act, you take measures to prevent yourself from falling into sin. You make sure you don't watch certain things. You make sure perhaps that you don't hang out with certain people. Yes, you pray, but it's not just prayer. You act upon these things. You seek. Seek and ye shall find. So all of these things, and I've mentioned these things before, but prayer, when you pray, well, prayer almost gives you the motivation that you need to act. The very act of praying gives you the motivation, the incentive, the energy to do those things that you have just prayed for. For example, if you are praying for somebody who needs help, somebody who is perhaps sick, somebody who is struggling with various things, well, when you pray for that person, that gives you more incentive to actually help them yourself. Praying for someone and they're not doing anything, that's actually quite rare. It's when you pray for someone, then you're moved to actually do something. Praying and seeking. And well, you could mention many examples concerning that. Praying for the salvation of somebody in your family, somebody at work. If you're praying to witness to somebody at work, well, you won't just pray and do nothing to reach out to them. You'll pray, and because you're praying, you'll have greater determination to reach them, to speak to them. I'm praying for this person night and day. I can't just sit and do nothing. I have to reach out to them. So there's an active part to praying. Seek and ye shall find. So often it is us. We are the answers to our own prayers. And this is how the Lord would have it. So ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And then knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, again, this is going up another notch in the intensity. It's not just asking. It's not just seeking. Now it's knocking. It's persistence that is being communicated here. Asking, acting, and persistence. The prayers that are being referred to, or that are in mind here, refer to those things that are perhaps long-term obstacles, long-term difficulties in our lives, things that we pray for, and we know it's right to pray for them, but we don't see much answer. The door remains closed. There is no budging at all. We see no immediate response. Well, what do? When we're confronted with such things, hard things, difficult things, long-term things, well, we persist. We keep on knocking at the door, as it were. Sometimes this is why the Lord keeps the door closed at times, because he wants to see our persistence. The Lord wants to see our persistence. How much do you really want the answer to your prayer? God, well, occasionally he does do this, but it does not please God, if I can put it this way, to answer half-hearted prayers. Half-hearted prayers that we just simply mumble and we're not really interested in whether we see the answers. We're not really interested in whether the Lord works or not. It doesn't please him to answer those half-hearted prayers. So sometimes the Lord keeps the door closed. He keeps the door closed so that our prayers will increase in fervency, increase in determination. How much do you want the answer to this prayer? He wants us to truly cry unto him. And so we keep knocking. He wants to see our faith also, our persistence, our faith over many years. Do you still believe that God can and will answer your prayer? Or do you lose faith? Do you lose heart in your prayers? We read from Luke 18 earlier on, and that parable of the importunate widow, and that parable that is given, by the way, just to remind you, to teach how men ought always to pray and not to faint, to be persistent in prayer, to keep knocking. And well, that widow, remember what happened? She would not cease crying out to the judge, and because of her persistence, her pleas were heard, and she was answered, and she got what she required. So these are all aspects of prayer. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, verse 8, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, this is the Christian life. The Christian life in this world is like this. This is what it consists of. The Christian life is all about continual asking and being given, continual seeking and finding, continual knocking and doors being opened unto you. This is the Christian life. This is what we do. And it's focused on prayer and our close communion with God. But it must be a continuing thing. We must have constant communion with God. But then verse 9, as we continue, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Well, the reasoning here in these verses is very obvious. If a child asks his father for bread, well, the father will, of course, not give him a stone. He will give him what he's asked for. He will give him bread. If he asks a fish, a father, a responsible father, will not give him a serpent. He will give him what he's asked for, a fish. Well, if men can do this, if decency of men can do these things, well, how much more can our Father give good gifts unto your children? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And these things, well, they're of great comfort to us. But these verses, by the way, just to make clear, are not saying that the Lord simply gives us everything that we ask for, as if God is some kind of genie, just giving us and granting us our every wish. Of course, everything that we ask for in prayer must be according to God's will, that which is pleasing to God. That is the rule that's laid down for us in Scripture. 1 John 5 verse 14, "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So we can't ask things that are selfish or that are covetous or that are proud. We can't ask for lots of money so we can show off to our friends. We can't ask for a big house so we can impress all our neighbors. We ask things that are according to his will. And notice here how the emphasis is on good gifts, that which is good for us. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You see, the focus is on good things, not on things that make us proud, not on things that make us selfish. We ought not to pray for those. Those things will not be granted to us, but those things which are good for us. And that those are the things that the Lord will bestow upon us. But another thing that we ought to understand from these verses is that, well, this does not mean that our prayers will always be answered in the way that we expect them to be answered. Sometimes we come to this conclusion from these verses. Well, if I ask something, then I will just get something in exactly the way that I expect to receive them. But that is not the way that the Lord works. Now, I often refer to this hymn because, well, I see no other better illustration, certainly amongst the hymns. But there's a hymn in our hymn book, hymn number 451. You don't have to turn to it, but it's a glorious hymn of John Newton. And, well, it speaks of how he asks God for something. He asks God for a good thing. The hymn begins, "I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace." So this is a good thing that he's asked of God. But then as the hymn goes on, well, we find that the Lord has a very strange way of dealing with him. "Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part." John Newton, he's asked for grace, he's asked for help, he's asked to be made a better person, but instead of this, God is showing him the evil of his heart. And then in verse 6 of this hymn, "Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue my soul to death?" Why, it's as though John Newton has asked God for a fish and he's been given a serpent. That's how he feels. "Lord, I asked, to be made a better person. All you've done is show me my sin. What is this? I asked for a fish. Have you given me a serpent? What is this? Well, at the end of the hymn, we are given the answer. This is the way the Lord replied. I answer prayer for grace and faith. This is the way that the Lord answers prayer. He was answering his prayer all the time, but just not in the way that John Newton wanted it to be answered. And that is a great feature of prayer. It may be that you will have an experience like this. You may desire to be made a better person. You pray to God, make me a better person. And what happens? God shows you your sin and your weakness and your failings. What's happening? Well, God is actually answering your prayer. He's answering your prayer. Sometimes you ask for wisdom, and what happens? Well, you'll end up making great mistakes. What's happened, Lord? I asked for a fish, you gave me a serpent. Well, no, he's answering your prayer. You make mistakes so that you'll be far wiser in the future. You'll be a far wiser person than anybody else who hasn't made those mistakes. This is the way that the Lord answers prayer. And, blessings in other areas of our lives. We ask for so many things, blessings in our relationships, in our families, marriages, and other things. But things can so often get worse before they get better. That is so often the way. They get worse before they get better. Why? Because that's the way that the Lord answers prayer. That's the way that he meets our needs. And this is a very important lesson that we have to learn about prayer. He breaks us down before he builds us up again. Therefore, we look at verse 12 as we come to conclusion. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Well, just very briefly, this verse is known as the Golden Rule. And of course, it's a glorious teaching, very easy to understand. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In all our dealings with others, as Christian people, in all our dealings with anyone that we come across, we must deal with others, as though we were dealing with ourselves, as though we were speaking to ourselves, as though we were approaching ourselves. That's how we deal with others. We would never want anybody to lie to us, so we don't lie to them. We wouldn't want anybody to be unkind or cruel or deal harshly with us, so we don't do the same to them. We would always like to be treated with understanding and with care and with love and with patience. That's how we would like to be treated. So that's how we treat everyone else, with understanding, with care and with love and with patience. That is the very clear and simple teaching of this verse. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And the way it's put to us in that verse, the responsibility is upon us as Christian people. We are to be an example to the rest of the world as to how to treat one another. We can't expect the world to be like this to us. This is not how the world thinks. The world likes to, tread on others. The world mistreats others. The world abuses others. As long as they're all right, as long as I'm okay, as long as I'm doing well, I don't really care about anybody else. This is not the way that the world thinks, but we are called to be different. We are called to be the example. Show them how they ought to behave. That's how it's put in this verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye. The responsibility is upon us. Do ye even so to them. We are to be the example to them. We are to be the initiators. We don't expect it from the world and from those around us. But the point is, we show it to others, even if we don't receive it ourselves, because we are God's people. And then at the very end of that verse, for this is the law and the prophets. Well, just to close, can I just turn you to Matthew chapter 22, because this will be a good way of looking at that last part of the verse 12 and just concluding our thinking this evening. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and verse 36. The lawyer who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is his question. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 40, and this is the connection to the Sermon on the Mount. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. Well, what does this mean? Well, essentially, this is the teaching to fulfill the law and the prophets, to obey the word of God as we ought to. First, we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We love God. We love his commandments. We love what he commands us to do. We repent. We have faith. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love these things. And when we love the Lord our God, well, then we are enabled to love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, this is the way that God's people are identified. How do we know those people who truly love God? How do we know who they are? Those who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. Well, they are the ones who love their neighbors as themselves. That's how we know. That's how you know how somebody is a true Christian. Loves God, they love others, and they treat others as they would treat themselves. They love others as they would love themselves. This is two sides of the same coin. And well, this is the law and the prophets. This is what God ultimately has commanded us to do, to love God, to love one another. This is God's great commandment, to love. You know, it's so ironic that in this society where everything is being justified by love, we love one another, we're liberal, we're tolerant because we love one another. It's so ironic that in a society that lifts up love to such a high degree, it's completely rejected the word of God. Because this is the commandment of God, to love one another, to love simply, to love God, to love his precepts and his commandments. And it's only when we do that, that we are enabled to love one another in the right way. And this is the great commandment. His commandments are not grievous. God is not commanding us to do something ugly or unsavory or distasteful. He's asking us to love him and to love one another. Why would we ever turn away from such things? Well, this is the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank Thee that Thou art a God of love. And Lord, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy word to love one another as we do ourselves. Oh, dear Lord, help us that we may truly be those who obey Thy word, that we may truly be those who seek Thy face in prayer, that we may truly be those who walk worthily of our calling. O Lord, forgive us all our sin and help us in the days ahead. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.